Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. As we have been singing about our good and great God, you have shown yourself faithful time and time and time again. And we are here for one reason today: to lift up Jesus and to make much of Him. Thank you for this sweet time of worship and praise. Thank you, Lord, that we still live in a free country where we can go to a house of worship of no matter where it is, where we choose to, we can go. I thank you, Lord, for the saints of God. And Lord, we're going to be together a long time. And I pray that we'd not only enjoy our fellowship with one another today, but that we might enjoy your leadership and your direction and your spirit and your presence here with us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. All right, we're going to get back in Joshua. And we kind of left old Joshua last week. I really think anytime we have a special service like the Lord's Supper or something like a Gideon offering or a special missions emphasis, the whole service ought to be geared around that. And so that's why we went that direction last week. But we're going to get back in Joshua this morning. And if you have a Bible, we're in Joshua chapter 8. And let me just kind of do a little review before we read the scripture. You remember that God had promised to give the land of Canaan to the Israelites. Remember that? And they were to walk by faith, and they were to walk in obedience, and God had given a great victory in Jericho. You remember how the walls came tumbling down, and how God had given them a miraculous, supernatural victory that day, and then you remember the demoralizing defeat that we talked about at Ai, that little small, insignificant city called Ai. And it was a paralyzing defeat. But it was their defeat at Ai was the direct result of sin and disobedience. And now that the sin of Achan had been exposed and dealt with, God's power was now available for victory. And let me say this. The place of defeat would now become the place of victory for the Israelites. Y'all hadn't had enough coffee this morning. The place of defeat would now become the place of victory. And we're going to see that happen here today. And you see, the battle of Jericho resembles our battle against the world on the outside. But the battle of Ai symbolizes the battle of the flesh on the inside. And, you know, there's a battle going on within your own flesh. Now, when God saved you, He placed His Spirit within you, right? And gave you a new heart. But guess what? He has not yet eradicated that old sinful nature of mine and yours too. And so there's this war going on in us, right? And sometimes the flesh has victory over us. You know, y'all, can I just share my heart with you? There's a church, Second Mile Church is about 16 months old. We still got some new on us. but God has birthed a great work here. But I just want to tell you, for 16 months, we've got a believer in this fellowship, in this church membership, that has given me more trouble than you can shake a stick at. This person's been a thorn in my flesh. Giving me trouble after trouble after trouble. You know who this person is? is me. It's me. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's standing in the need of prayer. Romans 7:18 says, in my flesh there is no good thing. The only thing that's good about Cal Hampton is the Spirit of Jesus lives within me. And so I want to talk to you this morning. The enemy on the inside can bring you down. Let me say that again. The enemy on the inside, that's our old flesh nature, can bring us down. That's what happened at Ai to the Israelites. And so today, we're going to learn how to have victory, not over the world, which we learned 3 weeks ago at Jericho, but over the flesh at Ai. Y'all ready? Let's all stand to our feet if we can. If you're on crutches or you're in a wheelchair, you just lift your heart to the Lord the best way you can. Let's read the first couple of verses here in chapter 8. Now the Lord said to Joshua, you know what's amazing? That God would want to speak to any of us. Hello? Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. Father, would you take your holy and inerrant, inspired, infallible, authoritative word and bless our socks off with it today. Give us what we need to have victory over our own flesh. Teach us, Lord. In the powerful name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Please be seated. Let me give you, got a real quick, simple little outline for you this morning. First of all, I want to talk about victory that's been promised. Victory promised. Now, here it is in verse 1. He says, don't be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise and go up. See, I have given you the city. So that is the promise to Joshua. And you know, that promise has to do with not being afraid. He says, don't be afraid. Does that sound reminiscent of Joshua chapter 1, verse 9? Do not be afraid, for your God is with you wherever you go. And by the way, brothers and sisters, that is the admonishment of Scripture all throughout the Bible. Don't be afraid. Fear not. In some form, the words fear not appear 365 times in the Bible. How many of you know we don't have anything to fear? If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have anything to fear. But what if you don't have anything to fear? Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. By the way, that's exactly what God said to Abraham in that great vision of how God was going to bless him and make a great nation. He said, be not afraid. That's exactly what he tells Joshua here as they head into Canaan land. Be not afraid. That's exactly what the angel said to Mary when she was getting ready to give birth to the Messiah. Be not afraid, Mary. What did Jesus say to the disciples in the midst of the storm when he came walking on the water to them? Be not afraid. And then you remember the Apostle John when he was given that great revelation of the things that were to come. You remember what the angel said to John when he fell face? He said, be not afraid. Brothers and sisters, we don't have anything to fear except God Himself. Look at your neighbor and say, fear not. Now shout, be not afraid.
Be not afraid.
We don't have anything to fear. Isn't that a great word? And I want to tell you, victory comes to those who believe that God can do anything. And then here's the second part of this promise. Look at verse 2. And he says, you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoil and its cattle you shall take his booty for yourself. Now remember, in Jericho, they were not to take any of the spoils. They were to give all of that to the Lord's treasury. But bless God, when they get to Ai, after this victory that's been promised, they got to keep all the silver and the gold and the oxen and the cattle that they took. Don't you just wish Achan had just waited? He would have gotten what he wanted. There's a great word for us right there. Matthew 6:33. Anybody know what that says? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? Food, clothing, shelter, everything you need will be added unto you if you'll seek Him first and His righteousness. I don't know what you're up against today. But let me just tell you over here on the righteous right, God can make a way when there is no way. I don't know what you're up against. God is with you. And He's going to take care of you. Let me tell you folks over here the same thing. God is with y'all. Just like He's with this bunch over here, He's with you. And you don't have anything to fear. And He's going to meet all of your needs. My grandmama's favorite verses of Scripture were Philippians 4:19. And we know our God shall supply all of our need according to our riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Victory is promised to the people of God. Would somebody shout amen?
Amen.
And then not only is victory promised, but victory is pursued. Now, this is an unbelievable military strategy. Look at verse 3. So Joshua arose, and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor, and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Don't go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about when they come out against us as at first, that we shall flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they'll say, they are fleeing before us as at first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city. For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. Now, God told Joshua, take 30,000 soldiers to Ai. Do you remember what happened last time? They took 3,000 soldiers. And they didn't consult the Lord. Nobody prayed. Nobody had any kind of strategy. They just sent 3,000 and they were defeated quickly and horribly. But here, God gives the game plan to Joshua, the military strategy to Joshua. And He says, I want you to put 5,000 men in ambush on the west side of the city. And you lay in wait there at night. And then I'm going to bring everybody else up through the valley, all, the other 25,000, up through the valley, up to Ai. And then we're going to attack, and then we're going to allow them to come out of the city, out of the gates, and get after us just like they did last time. We're going to turn tail and run back through the valley just like happened last time. And when that happened, sure enough, all the soldiers and the fighting men in Ai came running out of the gates and after the Israelites, and the Israelites turned tail and ran. And every fighting man in the city of Ai emptied out of the city. And when Joshua lifted up his spear and gave the signal, the 5,000 that were on the other side came in the backside of the city and destroyed the city, set it on fire. And then when the men of Ai turned around and saw their city on fire and saw all the smoke, they turned around and started running back to the city when they realized what had happened. And now the army of Ai is in crossfire. Look at verse 26. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. The city of Ai was totally destroyed. You know, it's amazing the differences in Jericho and Ai. Jericho was an open attack. Ai was an ambush. Jericho was a miracle. Ai was not a miracle. Jericho happened during the daytime. The Battle of Ai happened at night. You know, sometimes things need to change in order to have victory. Hello. Now, I'm about to say something that might sound a little bit controversial, but brothers and sisters, if we keep doing the same thing as the church that we've done the last 40 years, we're losing ground every day. We cannot keep doing the same thing we've always done. Sometimes things have to change. Sometimes we've got to get up off of our blessed assurance and get out where the folks are. The days of begging people to come in here are over with. We've got to get out where the people are. Church planting, church revitalization, all different kinds. Now, we don't change the message. The message still remains the same. Jesus saves. But the methodology can change. And so sometimes a church will get in a rut, like I believe the church as a whole has. Do you know the only denomination that's growing, the evangelical denomination that's growing in this country? There's only one. Everybody else is plateaued or on decline. Everybody else. It's the Church of God. They're growing at a 37% clip. And you know why? Because they're doing something different that's working. And I'm not saying we need to copy what they're doing, but brothers and sisters, if we don't change our strategy from time to time, we're going to suffer defeat just like the Israelites did at Ai. We got to be willing to do whatever we got to do for victory. Now, how many of you older folks that are my age and up are mad at me now? I'm not saying we've been failures in the past, because what we've done in the past, hey, you don't know where you're going if you don't know what your past is. But we need to learn from mistakes that we made and do better now, because you know what? 90%, almost 90% of our community is lost and going to a devil's hell. And I, for one, am not willing to keep riding an old dead horse the way we've always rode it. We need to get up, we need to go bury the horse and do whatever we got to do that makes it work. Amen? Amen. All right. Enough jumping up and down on that. So, I'm thankful that, by the way, God is a God of second chance. Aren't you thankful Israel got a second chance after they blew it the first time? How many of you know God is a good God? And He is a God of second chance. And so, maybe you've blown it, like I have. Well, if you'll repent and ask God to forgive you, He will not only forgive you, He will clean you up and use you again. The Bible is chock full of that kind of stuff, of those kinds of people. So we've got victory finally preserved. Now, here's really what I wanted to get to. This is so awesome. Now, Ai has been destroyed. God told Joshua to completely destroy the city, and that's what he did. And now, some of you may think, you know, why did they have to kill all of them? Ai was a city of idolatry, child abuse, sexually transmitted diseases. I mean, I could go on and on about the city of Ai. It needed to be wiped out. And that's exactly what happened. And you see, I think Joshua and the people of Israel knew. They had figured out, look at verse 7. They figured out where victory comes from. Verse 7 says, "Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand." You see, it's the Lord's battle. And when the Lord brings victory, we simply just live in obedience and do what He tells us to do. And so let me just kind of make application here about this battle of the flesh. There's only one way to win the battle of flesh. Death. Death. Just like the city of Ai, it has to be destroyed. Turn on over in your New Testament real quickly, if you can, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and I want you to see this. I don't hear very many pages. Have we all got smartphones now? Galatians 5, 17. I'll wait for just a second. Remember, we've still got this old sin nature. We've still got this Ai inside of us. We're born into sin. We choose to sin. And our flesh, our desires, our stuff needs to be put to death. By the way, how many of y'all had to be taught how to lie? That's what I thought, see? We're all in the same boat, brothers and sisters. How many of y'all had to be taught how to lose your temper? We're a mess, amen? All right. Our old nature is still within us. Verse 17, Galatians 5, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. You see, when God saved you, He placed His Spirit within you. But you still got that old sin nature in you, and there's a battle going on in there. And so the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. How many times have you asked yourself, I knew that was wrong, I knew that was bad, why in the world did I do that? Yeah. Well, that's the flesh having victory over the Spirit in your life, see? And our desires, all that old stuff that's deep, that has to be put to death. And here's the works of the flesh. Look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice, that's the key word, such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But these sins of the flesh are committed by folks who are believers. They don't practice it, but sometimes they lapse into those sins. And those sins need to be put to death. In other words, we need to have a... Well, let me be positive. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. Let us be obedient to the Spirit. Now, if you'll turn right in your Bible to the book of Colossians, just a few pages over. Verse 5, Colossians 3 and verse 5. He's saying the same, the Spirit of God saying the same thing here. Colossians 3, 5 says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, there it is again, sexual immorality, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is also idolatry. And so what he's saying, we've got to put our flesh to death. In other words, every day we've got to crucify these things in our life. Let me put it like this. We need to have a funeral every single morning. Can I lovingly tell y'all, some of you look like you're at a funeral. The funeral doesn't take place in here. It's already happened, all right? We put to death these things that war against our spirit. We put them to death. Well, Pastor, how can you do that? Well, you bring them to Jesus. Lord, your word says that sexual immorality, gossip, covetousness, pride, all these things, outbursts of wrath, all these things are lust of the flesh. They're works of the flesh. That's what your word says, Father. And your word says that if I know the truth will set me free. And so today, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to take this mess and set me free. I don't want to do these things. And I need your power and I need your strength and I need your help to war against this stuff. And you do this, brothers and sisters, on a daily and, in my case, an hourly thing. A funeral takes place. You put them to death. What does the word crucify mean? Are y'all with me? That's enough to chew on right now. But I wanted to share this last I'm about to have a running spell, and y'all are too when you get this. And we're going to, well, go back to Joshua chapter 8 and look at verse 30. Is everybody okay? Everybody's all right? No, we're not all right. Everybody's all right? Yeah, we're all right. Go back to Joshua 8:30. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. After this great victory, he built an altar for sacrifices on Mount Ebal. Where's Mount Ebal? About 30 miles or so from Ai. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses which he had written. Then all Israel with their elders and officers and judges stood on either side of the ark before the priests and the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord. The stranger as well, as he was born among them, half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim. Where's Mount Gerizim? Well, there was a little valley in between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Y'all know where Mount Gerizim is. That's where Jacob's well was. You remember when Jesus showed up at the well? Remember the story of the woman at the well? Well, that's Mount Gerizim. Isn't that good? And so you got Mount Gerizim here, you got Mount Ebal right here, and you got this valley in between. Now listen to this. And half of them in the front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. Now, this thing that Joshua keeps referring to happened over with Moses, actually happened over in Deuteronomy chapter 27. And you've got these two mountains, Mount Ebal, and Joshua had offered up sacrifices on Mount Ebal. That's the Mount of Cursings. And then you've got Mount Gerizim, which is the Mount of Blessing. And what had taken place was Moses had divided the children of Israel up. And you got half of the tribes over on Mount Gerizim at the foot of the mountain. And then you got the other half over in front of Mount Ebal. And here with Joshua in this scene, after the great victory, you've got the Ark of the Covenant and the priests there. And Joshua is reading the book of the law, the blessings and the curses in the law of God. And every time a curse was read, the people shouted, the people at Mount Ebal shouted, "Amen." And every time a blessing was read from the law of God, the people at Mount Gerizim would shout, "Amen." That's right. So that's what's going on here. Now, y'all going to have to play along with me. And if you don't do well, we're going to do this all afternoon. All right, now we're going to divide the congregation right in half. Right straight down through here. Cassie and Jared, I'm sorry, but y'all got to split up on this. And Ethel, y'all, right down the middle. This side over here, y'all are at Mount Ebal, the Mount of Cursing. Okay, sacrifices have already taken place, and y'all are standing down there listening to Joshua read from the book of the law the curses. All right, everybody from right here over. Now everybody from right here over here, y'all, guess where y'all are? You're at the Mount of Blessing. You're at the Mount Gerizim. Okay. And so we're going to read these blessings and we're going to read these curses. And every time I read a blessing, the folks at Mount Gerizim are going to say what? Amen. And every time I read a curse from the law of God, all you folks over here at Mount Ebal are going to say, "Amen." Are y'all ready? Oh my goodness. What does the phrase "all afternoon" mean? All right. Now I'm over here in Deuteronomy 27, verse 11. And Moses commanded the people on the same day, saying, "These shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have crossed over the Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin." See, that's six of the tribes. And then verse 13, "And these shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice, and say all to the men of Israel. Abel, are you ready? Cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret, and all the people shall answer and say,
Amen.
Y'all ready? Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country, and all the people shall say,
Amen.
Stay with me now. Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt, and all the people shall say,
Amen.
Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, and all the people shall say,
Amen.
All right. Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say,
Amen.
Ooh, I like this one. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks.
Amen.
Here's the last one I want to read to you. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and all the people shall say,
Amen.
And then last but not least, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed you shall be when you go out. And all the people said,
Amen.
All right, so why was God doing this? By the way, y'all did pretty good. Why was God doing this? He was teaching them that if they would obey the Word of God, they would be blessed. And He's also teaching them if they disobeyed the Word of God, they would be cursed. Brothers and sisters, I cannot say it any plainer than this. If you want the blessings of God to fall on you and your family, do what the Word of God tells you to do. If you want your family to be cursed, if you want a curse on your life, then just disobey what God tells you to do. Which mountain you want to be on? You want to be on the mountain of blessing, or you want to be on the mountain of cursing? I know which mountain I want to get on. I guess the question came to me. You would think that the altar would have been built on Mount Gerizim, wouldn't you? It was built on Mount Ebal. Why? Because God knew we would need a sacrifice for sin. Do you remember 2,000 years later who took the curse of sin upon Himself? The Lord Jesus. And my Bible tells me that if I would be willing to just simply trust and obey, God would bless me and bless me real good. I don't know where you are today, but our God is a God of second chance. And I've said all of that to say this. Which mountain are you going to say amen to? Which mountain are you going to say amen to? Would you bow your head? And let's allow the Spirit of God to do His work here today. We've talked to you about how to have victory over our flesh, how to whip the AIs of this life. And it comes through faith and obedience. You need a little bit of that stuff from Jericho, and you need a little bit of that stuff from Ai. Father, I don't know all the things that You're doing here right now. But Lord, I love these people. I love the folks at Second Mile Church, and I love the folks who are not a part of Second Mile Church. But God, it's the desire of my heart that I would live on the mountain of blessing. And that I would walk in the Spirit, being obedient to Your word, Your will, and Your way. And I know there are many others today who feel like that. But I also know, God, that there are many others who are living on Mount Ebal right now. I've been there. I've done that. And so I pray that You would impart grace and mercy. Thank You for the sacrifice that was made so that we could move out from under the curse of sin. Thank You for Jesus. And oh God, we plead the blood today. That everyone would walk out of here saying amen to the mountain of blessing, which comes through obedience through Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.